The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, March 3, 2019.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ. On this first Sunday in March, well, it's good to see you and it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If not, register your attendance this morning. In the pew pad beside you is a little notebook. If there's information there that you would like to share with us, emails, contact information, please know that we don't sell these cheaply. We get as much out of your information as we can. So please, we will keep it in complete confidence. We'll only give it out to the people we think need it. So that's just the way, I'm just kidding about all of that. But if you'll share that information so we can get you in emails and contacts and kind of let you know what's going on. And also in your bulletin, always remember there's a place for prayer concerns and prayer needs or to correct those that are already listed. Please share those with us as well. Let's continue now and enter into a time of worship. Today is truly the day the Lord has given us, that God has made. May we rejoice within our hearts, and may that rejoicing within our hearts show forth as we share God's grace and mercy in gratitude for His infinite and marvelous blessings. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we come today to worship You in spirit and in truth, thanking You for Your love and grace, thanking You for Your blessings, and coming into this time to share in our faith together, as we worship together, as we praise You in song and hymn, as we praise You in the word proclaimed, and the breaking of the bread and the receiving of the cup. Father, truly we do thank You for all of Your wonderful blessings. Let us worship You now in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Scripture is taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 44. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with Him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while He was praying, the appearance of His face changed and His clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which He was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw His glory and the two men who stood with Him. Just as they were leaving Him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for You and one for Moses, now and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them. They were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is My Son, my chosen, listen to him. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I beg your disciples to cast it out," but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. While everyone was amazed at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
No good deed goes unpunished. I bet some of us can resonate and identify with that, can't we? Our best intention to do something good, and it turns inside out and upside down and becomes a mess. That happens to be me if I pick out flowers. I try. I'm getting better. I really am. But sometimes they just look like you stuck them in a face, you know? Anyway. And they just don't look right. But I've learned that you can cut them different lengths. You know, instead of laying them all out and cutting them on the same length so that they're all the same height in the vase, if you cut those puppies off at different lengths, it's how it makes that rounded pretty thing. Just a lesson, guys, if you want to think about doing this. So. In our scripture this morning, and that don't have anything to do with the message. So. In our scripture this morning, I really need to try to cover some turf, because without this bit of turf covered, this scripture is kind of crazy. It don't mean much, and it doesn't sink in quite to the depth it should. I need you to go back to me to the nation of Israel in Exodus, and when they go to Mount Sinai, I need you to go there. There's two great prophets in the eyes of the Jewish people. The greatest one was the lawgiver, and that's how they know him, and that's one of the titles for him, and his name is Moses. The first five books of the Bible are considered to the Jewish people, to the Orthodox Jew, even today, the greatest books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. And the Jewish people attribute those to Moses. If you look in your Bible, it'll say the book of Moses, called Genesis by Moses. So now as you look and kind of keep Moses in your mind, the next one was Elijah. Now Elijah was a prophet, bold and strong, faithful, always faithful. Elijah is the only one in the Old Testament who doesn't taste death. Elijah is so good in the eyes of God and so faithful in what he does and so strong in his journey that God says, "You're not going to taste death," and he actually takes him up into heaven. And the Jewish people consider him to be the greatest prophet, and Moses the greatest prophet as well, but the lawgiver. Kind of a difference a little bit. So now you got to remember, they went up on Sinai, and Moses... Remember, Moses led the people out of Egypt, led them out of slavery, gets them over to Sinai, and God shows up. God shows up on the top of a mountain in fire, smoke, thunder, and lightning. And God says, "I want to talk to the people." They said, "We don't want to talk to him." You know, you go, Moses, you go for us. So Moses said, okay, and God actually drew a border around the foot of that mountain. If anybody come past that, they would actually die because God wanted to be alone with Moses. Kent, what was it you told us in Sunday school about Moses and the first set of commandments? They didn't last. He broke them. We don't know what the first one said, but Kent said Moses was the first person to have a tablet downloaded from the cloud. So just think about it, yeah. I just thought, oh, my goodness. You should come to Sunday school. I don't know if you can hear all that on the broadcast, on the feed. So now you got Moses. He goes up on the mountain. He's getting the law. He's spending time with God. And Moses says, God, I want to check you out. Moses said, God, I want to see you. And God says, well, you won't live. And Moses said, ooh. Well, you know, God said, let me tell you what I'll do. Let me make you a deal, Moses. I'm going to hide you over here in this rock. I'm going to put you in the corner. And I'm going to put my hand over you. I'm going to put you in that corner, and I'm going to shield you. And I'm just going to let one of my attributes come by you. I'm just going to let this one thing come by you. And God hides Moses in the rock, and Moses can't see nothing. And God lets his glory pass by. And Moses is transfigured. He is glowing, and his hair has turned white. His garments are white. And he's actually glowing. And he's still glowing when he comes down off the mountain. Moses is transfigured, the lawgiver. Elijah is called up into the heavens. And now Jesus has taken himself away from the crowds. He's talked about discipleship. He's talked about following me. And a few days later, he decides to go up on the mountain. And he takes Peter, James, and John with him. Why these three? Well, I think they were troublemakers. And if he knew if he left them behind without supervision, there'd be problems. Yeah, I really think you keep your enemies, your friends close, but your enemies closer. How many of us as parents have learned that kid, we need to keep close? Anybody know that? Yeah? Keep a little tighter rein on them? You folks are just kind of out there this morning. Did you not sleep good? Maybe I'm boring. That could be. Am I boring, honey? That's what I thought. See, you won't tell me. You'll say that was a nice message as you go out the door. When I get home, she'll say, where did that come from? She don't say that. I'm just kidding. She's not that cruel. She'll say, I can't believe you preached that. She doesn't say that either. She does challenge me sometimes and have questions. Now that she does do. And you know what else she does? I got her a new Bible for Christmas. Do you know why I got her a new Bible? Because in her other one, she wrote notes and dates on the scriptures and what I preached on. And she would say to me, you preached on that 2 years ago on the same thing. So she's got a new one and she don't have the notes. But she still got the old one. So now you've got Moses, you got Elijah in your mind, you got Jesus, they're going up on the mountain. Now you got Peter, James, and John. They needed three witnesses in Jewish tradition. In order for anything to be true, for anything to be binding, for anything to be credible, for anything to be significant, there had to be three witnesses. So that's why Jesus took three guys with him. And they go up to pray. And it's kind of reminds me a little bit of what will happen later in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, when he's praying. Only there they'd actually fall asleep. Here it just says they're heavy with sleep. But since they didn't fall asleep, they got to see something wonderful, sort of, you know, after this meeting with Moses. You know, anyway, they get to see his glory. So now what happens? They get to see God shows up. And God changes two things. I want you to see them. Jesus is praying. Why did he go up there to pray, do you think? This is a lesson for us. This is a piece of the application of the sermon. I want you to know that. Jesus is going up to pray. He's been around the crowds. He's been healing. He's been working. We're 9 chapters into Luke. This is the point in Luke when Jesus fixes his face on the cross. This is the point in Luke when it won't be too long until he's crucified. This is the place in Luke. This is a good place to get out here on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. So Jesus goes up there. I bet when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, I hope you remember, that he prayed so hard and was so burdened in that prayer that he actually bled sweat with blood. And the doctors tell us that can really happen. But you have to be in a real state of physical distress, mental distress. I bet Jesus was heavy burdened when he went on this mountaintop. I bet even our Lord went away and needed to get a hold of God. He needed to spend that time with God. And I want you to notice the first thing that happens. He gets a hold of God. And it says the expression on his face changed. Now Jesus' face didn't turn white. Jesus' hair didn't turn white. I mean, he's seen God. He's been with God. But something did happen on that mountain, and that was that Jesus heard from God. Jesus heard from God's contact. He made connection. And his face changes, and then it says, and his robe turned white. And there appeared with him Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets. The law, folks, you need to understand, Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it. He didn't do away with it. You can't erase the Old Testament and just go over to the New. You got to take them as the whole. And the law is the Word of God. Jesus came as prophesied by both, actually, to fulfill the Word of God. And now you got Moses, you got Elijah, and guess who else you got? You got Jesus. You got three. You got a witness to what? God's glory. Jesus says what? How many times? That he's doing this to glorify God. It isn't a happenstance. It isn't just a happening, yeah, chance that he would show Moses his glory. For Jesus would proclaim his glory. And he says, I have glorified you, and I will continue to glorify you. It's happening on this mountaintop. And Peter, James, and John behold it, and they see it. And Peter says, we need to have a building project. He was Baptist. You know, you got three people together, let's build something. You know, Methodist said, well, we'll take up an offering, but we don't expect to get much. And the Presbyterian said, you know, we knew this had happened. His predestination. You know, man, we need to have communion. So now Jesus and his disciples, they've had this mountaintop experience. Have you ever had one? You ever had that mountaintop experience in your life when you realized it's good? You realize that for this moment, for this time, for this place, all is good. You know, we have what I call mini mountaintops all the time. And I was up at Camp McCall in North Carolina. I just needed to get away. I needed, you know, I'd been a pastor for a little while, and I was in school and working on my master's degree, and I just needed to get away. And I called Ronnie up at Camp McCall, and I said, Ronnie, I said, is it busy up there? He said, actually, there's nobody up here for 2 weeks. And we're remodeling this upper cabin. And he said, there's nobody up here. I said, what? There's nobody using the camp for 2 weeks? God at work, right? I said, could I rent it? He said, no. We don't rent to individuals. But you're welcome to come up here and stay. And you can have the whole lower cabin to yourself. You know what's nice about that lower cabin? You don't have any idea. It has this great big porch that goes all the way across the front of it. And they got those big old rocking chairs. You know those you see down at the what was the name of the restaurant where they sell you all the stuff? Cracker Barrel. They have those big rocking chairs at a lake. That right out. I mean, the bank just drops off, and right there is a lake right in front of you. And how many of you enjoy hearing frogs croak at night? You ain't been in the South until you listen to all the bugs. You know, you don't know what you're missing, especially when they're right around in here, you know. But they had a part of that porch that was screened in. So I drove up there, and Ronnie met me at the gate, gave me the key, and he said, "Now, I might need you. If I do, I'll come and get you." So I didn't know it was going to be a work week. I figured Ronnie had an ulterior motive. But that's okay, because I can't stand being by myself for so long, you know, and I could understand why other people might not want to be. So I go up there, and here's what happened. I'm sitting on that porch, and I got to be honest with you. I was kind of burned out. I had just buried this little girl who was 13 years old, just beautiful little girl, Nikki Oliver, of leukemia. I was actually holding her when she died and actually carried her out to the hearse with her mom and daddy, and we just buried her. And this was December 21st. Her dad committed suicide on December 24th. And I buried Marshall. And I helped clean the blood off of the packages under the tree for the other two children. I needed to get away. I really felt like I didn't want to do this anymore. I just, you know, I had actually had several tough things, some suicides other than Marshall's and things like that, and I just needed to get away. How many of you have been there? Your battery's dead. There just isn't any more to give. I encourage you to do as Jesus did. Get away and pray. And I spent some time up there walking the trails and finally made it all the way around what they called the upper trail. And when I got up there, it just so happened that, I can't remember, he said they had been getting rocks out there or something, and they had cleared a whole bunch of the brush. And I could actually see down into the Limbel Gorge from on top of that mountain. And I sat down there, and then I kneeled, and God met with me. And I felt all of that weight, because the reality is, Jesus couldn't, I couldn't, and you can't carry it all. You got to get on the mountain sometimes and meet with God. Because in our lives there will be times when no good deed goes unpunished. No matter how hard you try and how much you do, it won't be enough. The only thing that we can do is to glorify God in what we do, give Him the praise for what He's done. And when the world gets too heavy and we can't carry it anymore, we need to realize we never could and go back to God in prayer. Jesus met with God on the mountain. His face changed. He was affirmed. And the cloud, as resembled that on Mount Sinai, and out of that cloud, as on Mount Sinai, came the voice of God. "This is my Son, the chosen one. Listen to Him." And we listen with more than just our ears, don't we? We listen as we look at body language, and we see the witness more than the words. And for us to take away this morning, there's a lot more here. You can read it. You can look at the Facebook Live thing. But for us today, I want us to know that sometimes we need to meet with God and give it to Him. We can't carry it. It's too heavy. It's too much. But the wonderful thing is, He doesn't ask us to. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute, Our gracious and loving God, indeed, it seems that sometimes no good deed goes unpunished. But Father, I would remind us this morning in this time of prayer that you see every good deed, that it doesn't go unnoticed. And your word promises that even if we give a cup of water in your name, it will not be wasted. So Father, today, let us not be discouraged when it seems no matter how hard we try, it isn't enough. Let us do everything that we do, Father, to glorify you. This is our prayer, that we meet with you, that we are able to let some things go, but that we glorify you in everything we do. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers lifted in Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, the chosen one, your Son's holy name. Amen. God's grace and peace go with you and bless you. May you truly know God's love and mercy as you go to serve Him this week. May you go to Him and find comfort there. Now may grace and peace go with you and bless you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.